Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on this very lovely Saturday morning in between soccer games. And got lots to talk about. Some good, some not so good, but you know, things happen every week, strangely enough. So if you're new to the show, either found it by accident or somebody told you about it or you're whatever, just happened to be driving by, just stick around for a while. I promise you'll learn something. And if you're one of the regulars, thanks again for always being there. We need you and we like you and like that. Business is building all the time and the show is building all the time. We hear from new people quite a bit lately. And we'll answer anything you want to talk about. So if you just want to listen to us babble about what is interesting us, be our guest. But it's a lot more fun if you call us and ask us any of your financial questions or make comments on the passing scene or whatever you care to do. Callers always have priority and we'll go to the head of the line. So that said, we had a very interesting week in the market that looked like it might really get some momentum going, and then right toward the end sort of fell flat. But we did have an advance on the S&P 500 for the week.
Yeah.
1 point. One. And that's, it went from 4180 to 4181. So it was 0.05%. Pretty exciting stuff out there, huh?
Well, it was better than the other two.
Yes, it was also better than nothing.
That's true. That's true. And we're without Wi-Fi right now, so I don't even have my notes available. If you give me 1 minute, I will be able to get them up.
No problem. We can talk about that a little bit anyway. What was going on out there is that the market started out pretty well, and toward midweek we were making some records again. And then it kind of petered out on Thursday afternoon, again on Friday afternoon. And at this point, I'm wondering what part of that was the end of the month, people doing some window dressing. What part of that might have been because Biden opened his mouth and the Fed opened their mouths all in 1 week?
Yeah, I don't really think it was any of that, honestly.
It didn't seem like it. That's the weird part, isn't it?
No, I think I said it the last couple of weeks. I expected consolidation, and that's exactly what we've been seeing. The market was... It's been going up since, it's been going on a tear since a year ago, and it's up 50% in a lot of cases, depending on what index you look at or more. And honestly, it just needed a pause. It was overbought, or extremely overbought, actually, more than two standard deviations above its 50-day moving average. That's a position that you can't stay in forever. You have to have either consolidation or
timing,
a fall.
The timing of it seemed odd to me because the earnings were coming out, and they're blockbuster.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. And everything, sentiment, you name it, everything is really good. But I guess, like you said, it was time.
But that's why the market's been going up.
Yeah, true.
That's
it was anticipatory.
Yeah, it's the market's forward-looking. So I think that's why we are where we are today. And everyone's been saying it's so high. How can it be so high when earnings haven't been that good? Well, here are the earnings, and we're already at that level. So I think the market's saying that they don't expect the next year to look quite as good as this past year, 12 months has been.
I think that's fairly reasonable.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd be shocked if it got better.
I mean, I think there's still room to go up. I'm not saying that we can't. I just don't think we're going to see another 50% year-over-year gain like we did since last April.
Yeah, well, we started out such a low level last time. Now we're starting out, if you're looking for a year from today, we're starting out at a very high level.
Yeah, definitely. And what I'm about to say kind of proves what we've been talking about. We saw earnings reports from five companies represent 20% of the S&P 500's market cap, which is pretty incredible.
It is.
It's Apple, Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Microsoft, all the usual suspects. Mm-hmm. They have a tremendous effect on what happens in the market. Any one of those can move the market on any given day because they're so large. But how do they all reported this week, which has only happened a handful
happen
of times.
Very much.
They all reported in 1 week. And how did they look? Pretty much nothing short of fantastic.
Yep.
What was the market reaction?
Mm.
Nothing. So when the results are as great as those five companies just posted and the market doesn't reward them for doing so well, what does that say? It says that that expectation was already in place and it was baked in. That's why they've been up so much when they have been posting really good numbers. But even a huge quarter like they just had doesn't really move the needle when it's already baked in.
Now, did you hear one of the excuses that some analyst said? The reason that Apple went down was because their numbers were just too good.
Yeah, that guy's an idiot.
You think?
Yeah.
You know, there's some things you ought to write down and read aloud and see how they sound before you actually publish them.
The reason that this is good news that is because if any one of those five companies had disappointed on their earnings in a minor or major way, really, that would have been a severe downward catalyst for the market. So if you had seen any one of them not do as well as they did, it could have easily brought the market down. But apparently their outperformance didn't bring the market up. So I think it's a win by just staying level.
I'll give you that one today.
For the week, as we mentioned, the S&P was up 1 point, or basically 0%. The NASDAQ was down 0.4%, and the Dow was off 0.5%. And we've been talking about consolidation, and I want everyone to remember that when you are in the middle of a bull run and you see periods where the market goes sideways, that can be very healthy. Because what it does is it allows those moving averages to catch up to the stock prices so they don't look so overbought or overvalued. And it gives new investors a chance to get in at a level that seems more reasonable to them. And so that can actually propel the market higher.
Yeah, it's kind of a confidence builder when you think something's been up so far and it stays there for a while. Yeah, if you're sitting there waiting for a bargain and it never happens,
right,
you're either going to buy in or you're not.
Yeah, that's why you see a lot of times the market pull back 8 to 12% and all of a sudden buyers come in off the sidelines and
boom,
buy it in a frenzy. And that's why that happens. So for the month of April and the start of the second quarter, it really couldn't have gone much better. We saw the Dow gain just under 3%, while the NASDAQ and the S&P gained over 5%. It added to a great first quarter, and now for the year, the NASDAQ is up over 8%, the Dow and the S&P are up over 10%. So really strong first quarter for one-third of the year, basically.
Yeah, I don't think it was quite that good. Last time we said we should just shut down the year and live off.
I mean, I'd kind of lock it in right now if we had a chance.
It would be great, wouldn't it?
got a lot more to talk about. We're up against a break here, and we got our internet password, so I guess we can get back on now.
Well, that always helps. Yeah, I will have the trivia question after the break, and I'm still debating. I've got a couple of them I'm looking at. And I want to talk a little bit on inflation, too. And then Adam's got another in his series of what I call Who Am I? They're actually American success stories. We'll handle all of that. But most importantly, the lines are open, 904-222-8255. Give us a call. Anything about your personal finances, market, anything you want to talk about, we are ready, willing, and able to do. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, and I definitely want to talk a little bit more about inflation, and I'll tie it into the previous show, too. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And we do have, as usual, our trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Kenny at 904-636-7888. This one is kind of on one of my other topics of the day. But what state in the U.S. is losing population the fastest percentage-wise? And this one, there is always a point when I have a trivia question, and this is no exception. Good morning. I have your number, but not your name. My apologies.
That's quite all right. This is Phil from Orange Park. It's always a pleasure, and thank you for your 1 minute, 22 seconds. I think I can keep it to that. Health is challenging. Prayers are welcome. And gentlemen, the Vanwees and staff, you have a five-star company. However, you have a five-and-a-half-star staff and customer service, and don't change anything you do. And long story short, to finish up on that, because I'm going to take a guess at the trivia question, if you don't mind.
I can call would love that. It.
Y'all are awesome. You get the 5.5-star-plus customer service award from all your listeners and this old guy who has a birthday coming up this month. But right. I was born, pardon my French, no pun intended, in the dark ages, so you don't want to know how old I'm going to be. You're the future, I'm the past. Okay, on the trivia question, what state is in the U.S. is losing population percentage-wise? Okay, I'm not going to mention the other two because then I'll give it out there if I'm wrong. So as we get older, we get a little wiser, but you're always smarter than I am. Keep up the good work. Okay, I got one, I got two, I got three. I'm going to go with my first choice, which is, and I'm probably wrong because it's probably one of the other two, which I won't mention. I'm going to say California.
Well, it is a wonderful guess, and it's certainly among those that are doing it, but it's not the fastest one on a percentage basis, I believe, due to immigration. Legal and otherwise.
Yeah.
And you know what? You guys are the grew of Saturday mornings and everything. And old Phil's going to let you go because I have to take my meds and a nap. And prayers welcome, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thanks so much, and we appreciate your kind words. Thank you. Good morning.
Again,
I don't have a name.
Bob.
Okay. Hi, Bob.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, can you turn your radio? Bob, can you turn your radio down? We're getting feedback.
I don't have my radio on.
I think that's the caller. You got it there. They're
okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Then it was interference, but it wasn't from you. Thank you. My apologies.
Okay. No,
go ahead.
No problem. Hey, I wanted to make a mention about inflation. We just built a house in the country, and we finished in November. And our builder told us this spring, we were so lucky that we did build when we did, because the price of wood alone has gone up 30%.
Yeah.
And that the cost of the homes now that he's building are up about 25 to 30% over what we built.
Amazing.
And on an equal basis. And we also have a place at the beach, and I'm on the board of our building, and our insurer went bankrupt and is going to leave us in a lurch. Our contract expires on June the 9th, and the judge has ordered them into receivership, and they're dumping us May 14th. The judge is taking over the insurance company. What we paid last year... and we're shopping now for new insurance, and that itself has doubled, too, as well. So last year for our building, we paid $4,000, and we're looking at a policy for $8,000 right now.
For lesser
coverage.
That is unfortunate.
And I think some of this is due to, you know, inflation and the cost of things to repair things and build things and a shortage of supply. So I think there's a lot of factors driving things up. It's not just one thing. But anyhow, that's my comment.
Well, you're
probably not listening to the Federal Reserve because they say there's no inflation and they really want some.
Baloney. It's just baloney.
No, they said it's just temporary inflation.
Yeah, exactly.
They got their head in the sand.
Yeah, why does somebody raise prices? Because they can.
Exactly.
That's exactly it. There's shortages of everything now, and the pricing power is unbelievable.
Bob, I read this morning, it's not just wood that's up.
Copper.
It hit a 10-year low in the last year, and also a 10-year high. It just recently hit a 10-year high in pricing in the last year. So it's been all over the place, but right now it's shooting up.
And the risk there, that's
no
huge.
Kidding.
That's a big swing.
Yeah, definitely.
You can count on it continuing for a while.
You got it.
But not
trivia question. I missed that because I was dialing in.
No problem.
Is it the state losing the most population?
Losing population the fastest on a percentage basis.
On a percentage basis. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, I'd say that would be Illinois.
Good guess.
Another good guess. Also in the top, but it's not the fastest percentage.
Okay.
They have too big a base, I guess.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So there are reasons that you can come up with questions like this that are just perhaps a little trickier than others, shall we say?
Yeah.
And of course, that's what I do. That's fun.
You do a good job of that.
Well, thanks so much.
And there's among always the other things you do.
There's
you
always a point. Yeah, we appreciate it. That's and right. I'd like your call. Thanks. Okay.
Yes. Bye.
It's not hung up though. There it is.
Hello. Yeah, you got it. Good morning, Bosco.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
We are doing well? Just great. How about you?
You there, Bosco?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got
can
you.
Now. Yep.
Okay. Wanted to take a stab at your question.
Absolutely.
And I want to throw the answer of New York.
Another great guess. You guys are nailing them dead, except you're not right yet.
No worries.
There's only 47 left. So it's sort of a bracket, isn't it? Well, and you can eliminate five of them because you know they picked up congressional seats, so not going to be any of those. So now we're down to, what, just 42 or so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very easy.
But a great guess, and yes, it is happening there for all of the right reasons.
And also, with New York and California, I think some of that accelerated after the census was finished.
Yes, I'm absolutely sure you're right.
I think New York in particular has started really losing people in the last six to 8 months.
Yeah, this is the culmination of the 2020 census, which just got wrapped up a little bit
and
ago.
And I know that because I drive in Jacksonville, and you can't go 10 cars without seeing a New York plate these days.
Isn't
it's crazy.
The truth? And you know they're not all here on vacation.
No.
And that's what I'm called. You see so many of these plates.
I've seen everything, including Alaska, here recently.
I saw it in Alaska as well. Yeah, pretty random.
Either they get around a lot or there's more than one of them.
Maybe.
Who knows? Anyway.
Carry on. Well, thank you for the program. You're doing fabulous.
Oh, thanks. We do appreciate it. We'd love having you call. Thanks. All right. So we have eliminated three of the biggies, California, Illinois, and New York. And there's a point. So keep guessing, everybody. Okay, a note to all you cryptocurrency devotees, a little something that popped up in my headlines this morning. Turkey wages war on cryptocurrencies and investors lose a fortune. Erdogan is a duly elected dictator, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But then again, I could argue that we have one of those too.
A little different.
But our IRS is really, really intrigued now with cryptocurrencies and their transactions and so on. And I'm not saying you're going to lose your butt if you're in it. I would never predict that. But this is what can happen when you have something that isn't backed by the full faith and credit of whatever organization that has a printing press. So, word of caution, nothing more, nothing less. All right, you have anything else you want to wrap up on the market?
Yeah, quite a few things, actually.
Good. Well,
so, yeah, for April, it was kind of a struggle to find anything that went down. The only two things that I managed to find was Japan and India. And even those, they were down less than 3%, or actually just over 3% in the case of India. Mm-hmm. And that's really due to the COVID outbreak that they've
seen
recently.
Yeah, they're having a tough time.
And despite that, emerging markets overall were a little lower than the U.S. returns, but still posted a gain of more than 1%. Commodities, though, had a huge month, as you might imagine, as we were just talking about. They gained more than 7%. Big gains in oil, natural gas, and precious metals. Nice bounce back from last quarter where gold and silver were down substantially.
Right. Well, and then, which also brings up one little topic that, you know, I'm a big fan of, is TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected
Bonds.
Yeah,
they had a nice month as well, up about 1.5%.
And they announce on the first of every month what their monthly payment will be, if any. It is 51.5 cents. It'll
be
paid in a week. And that is the highest. I checked back. It's the highest since June and July of 2019. And the time before that it was higher than this, was in June of 2014.
Wow.
Now, there is no inflation, but tips are paying more than they have in a long time.
Exactly.
And they're paid how? Well, yeah, that would be inflation. So just a little something to think about.
Another asset class that bounced back a little bit was bonds. They were, as interest rates dropped slightly during the month, rose a little bit towards the end of the month. But overall, the bond market across the board saw gains.
What's the biggest problem in business and in economic growth today?
Labor shortages.
Bingo. See, he's right on top of this thing today. You can't get anybody to work ever. I've been hearing story after story after story. And that Indeed, the job posting site, they'll book five people for interviews on Indeed, and four of them won't even show up.
Oh, yeah, and Angie Subs out of the beach had the sign that said, bi-weekly stimulus payments apply here.
I love it. Oh, well, this is not over yet, but it is self-correcting. Welcome back to the Banway Financial Hour.
Who are you?
Spitting it out. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
That water is getting to me. I remind everybody that the trivia question is still available. What state out of our 50 is losing population the fastest on a percentage basis? And we know it's not California, Illinois, or New York so far. So looks like we got a call coming in, but I wanted to wrap up a couple of things on the market. Adam, I think the earnings season to date is an interesting thing going on.
Yeah, it's been nothing short of impressive. 83% of companies beating earnings forecasts, 75% beating on revenue. Additionally, 16% of all companies reporting have raised their forecasts, and just 2% have lowered. So those numbers are off the charts. They have been like that for a few seasons now. But the odd part is earnings are not getting rewarded by the market. But again, I think that's because the anticipation of the market, we've already built up to that level. They knew what was coming.
Well, I think the rumor on the street was pretty simple, that they weren't going to be able to meet the expected earnings, and now they are. So, who knows?
Yeah.
Can't tell. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Wonderful. How are you?
All right, great. Hey, I heard you touch on that Angie's sub sign. I'm an electrical contractor here in Jacksonville, mm-hmm. and we haven't been able to find help for 5 years.
Wow,
unbelievable!
I mean, that's even through the Trump administration, and I just can't believe that so many people are sitting on their butts collecting whatever they're collecting when there's so many jobs out there waiting to be had.
It's hard to believe, but again, it's not entirely their fault. The federal government is still giving them more,
yep.
$600 a week or whatever the payment is now, which just is unnecessary in a lot of cases. We need to get people back to work.
When is that scheduled to end? Is there an end date on that?
Yep, September. I'm not sure if it's mid or late.
Yeah,
September. All summer. Yeah, you're going to have to put up with this crap all summer.
Yeah, basically you have no chance of finding good help. And we have several small business owners in the family. They're all having the same issues.
Yeah, what happened to the old saying that we reward work? Well, I guess they forgot that one, huh?
I think parents aren't teaching that to their kids now.
No, I think you're right. And the schools aren't, and the government isn't, and the televisions aren't. You know, it's just, you expect?
So DeSantis doesn't have any say in that for the state of Florida?
No.
I mean,
it's a federal
program, so he really has no control whatsoever. He can only control what happens with the state unemployment program.
Otherwise.
Didn't I hear something about last Friday that people on unemployment now had to go out and prove that they're looking for work?
I don't know if they've readopted it. They want
to. Yes, that is correct.
They did readopt it.
For the state unemployment, I believe that to be true. I don't know about at a federal level, though. I'm not sure. I don't think that at the federal level you have to.
Yeah, I remember in the old days when I was in manufacturing back in the late 70s and 80s, people would come to our door, apply for a job, and if you didn't have one, you had to sign off so they could go back and get their unemployment. So we started saying, sure, there's a broom right over there. Go out in the factory and start sweeping. And Dick got out of there so fast. Goodbye.
Yeah,
I just wonder where the pride is in the American, in so much of the American public. I mean, you see able-bodied people on the off-ramps. I mean, young guys.
Oh, yeah.
Standing out there that could certainly swing a hammer or twist a wire.
Absolutely. And plenty of people
there begging with no pride.
Yeah, and you can get a job training anywhere. And, my God, look at what plumbers and electricians, you know better than anybody what an electrician can make nowadays. It's astronomical. Yeah. And you don't need to go into debt.
I train every one of my guys to be business owners, not to be lifelong employees making, topping out at $25 or $30 an hour, which is not too bad.
No.
But when you become a millionaire in 8 years without one bit of school, I mean, why wouldn't you get involved?
I can't think of a reason in the world.
Yeah, we've got our priorities all backwards these days.
We do.
Hey, the sad part is the only people that listen to your show are people who are aggressive and probably have a good bit of pride. And this isn't getting out to the ears of the young people.
Preaching to the choir every Saturday, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, guys, hey, thank you so much for your input on everything. We love listening to you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Bill. Do you want to take a shot at the trivia while you're here?
What do you have?
What state is losing population the fastest on a percentage basis, and we know it's not California, Illinois, or New York?
I'm gonna say Oregon.
Another wonderful guess, but again, not true.
Okay.
Nice try, though.
All right, guys.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Well, it's still a mystery, isn't it? Good morning. I don't have a name on this one, so please identify yourself.
No problem. I'm Ron from Georgia.
Oh, hi.
Ron. Hi. How are you today?
Great. And you?
Doing very well.
Good. What's up?
Just wanted to tell you I was watching a little video on YouTube about Lenny Dykstra, and when he was in the financial field, mm-hmm. Jim Cramer had him on. I remember promoting mm-hmm. the heck out of the guy. And, again, another black mark on Jim Cramer. I'm sorry. I just love taking shots at Jim Cramer.
And you're preaching to the choir now because I love it, too.
Oh, my gosh. I don't understand the popularity. unless it's
is like purely for entertainment purposes only, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When we get new people in the office, once in a while you find a Cramer fan.
Yeah.
They'll say, do you watch Cramer? I said, no, but if I push my sleeves up and get up on the table and jump up and down and make monkey noises, will you do business with me?
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, maybe it's the people that watch a stock car race and only watch for the crashes that watch Cramer.
You know? Disaster coming up. You're probably right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, you want to take a shot at our trivia question?
Yes, I do. My wife's home state, West Virginia.
Well, we have a winner.
All right. Good job.
All right.
Now.
Thank you, guys.
Well, good. I'll put you on hold when we're done with the call, and we'll get something sent out to you from Mr. Bales. But I wanted
Thank
to bring
you.
Up the reason I'm asking this. Because West Virginia has a governor, you know, Big Jim Justice. He was a Democrat. He became a Republican when Trump was running, and he's stayed that way. And he knows exactly what's going on there between coal and everything else, that people are exiting West Virginia very quickly, and he wants to change it. And one of the problems with West Virginia is that people are going to a place or places without a state income tax. So Jim Justice now, through good state management, has a surplus in the state, and he wants to use that surplus to get rid of the state income tax. And guess what's holding him back? The federal government will not allow any state that gets money from them to use it to reduce taxes.
No way.
I am not making this up.
Yep.
I am not making this up. That they will not allow them to use it for tax reductions.
That is unbelievable.
On their citizens. So whether Justice can pull this off by not taking any government money or not is a question. But, gee, what a shame, huh?
That really is.
All right. Well, anyway, I'll put you on hold, and we'll see what we can do and get you out something that might be useful. Not sure what.
No.
All right. Yeah, if we don't get it, call back. There's something going on a little goofy with our computer system today. We'll see. All right, is a minute and a half or so enough to talk about who you are, or you want to do it right after the break?
No, but I did want to talk about something else.
Okay, good.
If you listen to the show at all, you know we frequently talk about the unintended consequences of government actions, mm-hmm. and it is almost every time they try and quote-unquote solve a problem, and they end up creating 10 more problems. And this is such a good example of that. On April 13th, the 7-day average for COVID vaccinations in the U.S. was trending towards 2 million per day.
Mm-hmm.
That changed suddenly, and yesterday the 7-day average went under 1 million per day, so half. What changed?
Perception?
Well,
Why did it change?
The Johnson & Johnson pause happened on the 13th, and the public is now scared to get vaccinated. That is, by my estimation, over 16 million people that should have been vaccinated that now aren't because of that pause.
Whenever a government tries to make a law that has to do with one person or a tiny group, in this case six people, everything can be expected to go wrong.
Yep. It just happens every time.
Terry Schiavo. That was the case that led me to say that. So, all right, well, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back for the last segment in a moment. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And in this quarter, Adam has picked another winner, I guess you'd say. He's been doing a series, many of you have probably heard, about just sort of American dream stories, people who start out against all odds and make something of themselves. And he won't ever tell me who they are, so I'm guessing with you as the story goes on. So bring it in.
All right. Well, this man was the oldest of three children, born in Mount Vernon, Illinois, in 1948 to a bartender. He had to start working at a young age to support his family, and his early life he spent in the housing projects in Mount Vernon. He attended Southern Illinois University, sold insurance to pay for his tuition. He was introduced to horse racing by his uncle, and as a child, fell in love with it. Started his first horse farm in the 1980s. He didn't have enough money to get serious about it at that time, but the passion was there. So he bought a few horses that really had no chance of winning anything just because he loved it and wanted to be in the business. Mm-hmm. So he and his business partner, Steve Smith, recognized a demand for lower-cost long-distance services in the 80s and founded Excel Communications in 1988 to offer a lower-cost alternative to expensive long-distance calls. For those of you listening that are under age, about 30, we used to have to pay for long-distance calls. They weren't available on a cell phone, and it was very expensive.
My mother worked for Verizon, retired from there, and one of her retirement perks was free long distance for life, which used to be worth a lot, and then all of a sudden became useless.
So apparently the less expensive long distance calling was a pretty good idea, because it quickly became one of the fastest growing companies in the United States. The company went public in 1996, just 8 years later, becoming the youngest company ever to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange.
Wow.
By 1998, just 10 years after it was started, the company reached $1 billion in revenue, 9 years faster than Microsoft accomplished the same milestone. Mm. The same year, they merged with a company called Teleglobe, and the founder officially became a billionaire. He retired in 1999 from the CEO position. An interesting note, the company was taken private and spun off from Bell Canada and bankrupt just 5 years later in 2004. Kind of tells you what happened with the long-distance industry.
That was Bernie Ebbers, wasn't it? Or maybe he was in a different one. A crook.
I don't know. In the 1970s, he had purchased some cheap horses and quickly realized that cheap horses were not going to make him any money. He is quoted as saying, "I decided if I was going to be in, I was going to go big time." And going big time, he did. In 2000, with enough money to realize his childhood dreams, he purchased a 400-acre horse farm in Kentucky called Windstar. Today, the same farm is more than 2,700 acres and is one of the most successful horse breeding farms in the world. In 2018, their horse Justify became the 13th horse to win the Triple Crown. In that year, three of the horses running in the Kentucky Derby came from this one horse farm. He's a devout Christian and father of three boys and is quoted as saying, "The industry should take comfort in knowing that Windstar is my main focus after my faith and my family." From the projects of Illinois to becoming Ross Perot's neighbor in Dallas, Kenny Trout is now worth an estimated $1.5 billion. He grew a telecommunications empire and then cashed out at the right time to follow his passion, which he then turned into one of the most successful businesses in the industry. Some people are just born with that magic touch.
I'd rather be a little lucky than a lot of good.
Yeah, pretty good. It's so apparently this horse farm is recognized as the gold standard for breeding thoroughbreds.
You got a pretty good trainer, too.
Who's that?
Bob Baffert, probably. Since he's been involved in the Triple Crowns. In fact, the Derby is this afternoon, and they're going to try to start another streak that could lead to another Triple Crown.
You know, I planned this one for last week, so I didn't even think about the Derby being...
Yeah, your timing is impeccable.
Couldn't have been any better.
Well, yeah, I would have found a Trevor Lawrence trivia, except I didn't have time. But I do know one thing. He's got a pretty good singing voice. See him? He was doing Piano Man on the news this morning.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
He's really good. Well, the city is pretty excited. Sort of took some of the glitz and glitter off of Urban Meyer being up front for people.
That's old news now.
Yeah, that's old news, right? Trevor's old news. But it was new news.
Officially, you know what I mean. news.
Yeah, there's something about seeing the realization. Now, they probably won't have any trouble selling tickets, assuming we start winning.
Oh, no. I think Jacksonville would definitely support the team if we could just be better.
Win the first game, at least.
We did win the first game last year.
lost some good players, too, real quickly. Oh, well, enough football. It's a money topic, though. Wow. Both of those are. And Trevor, if you're listening, just come and see us at the office. We'll give you a
helping
hand.
We were talking about this last night. You can't advise NFL players without getting a special designation that we do not have.
So. Yeah, same thing with the PGA Tour. And what does it take to get it?
Money. I know it's 10 years. You have to be in business for 10 years, mm-hmm. and you have to pay to, I think, attend a course or something like that, and then pass a test to get designated. They want to make sure you're not a crook is what really boils down to.
And you got to pony up some bucks, too.
Yeah, but I think, and to some degree, I really do think you've heard all the stories about NFL players and other athletes getting bilked out of millions by crooked financial advisors. They really don't want that to happen to their players.
Way over half of them are in financial trouble within 5 years after they stop playing in the league.
Yeah.
And I blame poor advising. You got to realize, if you're an advisor, you got to realize that if you got somebody who's making a killing for a short time, that they're making their lifetime of income
within
in a very small
a few
time.
Years, yeah.
And that means most of it better be doing something besides going to the expensive car dealer around the corner, things like that. Anyway, and speaking of retiring, which we sort of were, how many of you would just love to retire before 65? But that big obstacle is in the way. What do I do about health insurance? Well, you've got 18 months of COBRA. Most people are familiar with COBRA, that allows you to continue the coverage you had from the group. But the problem is you no longer get the group price once you leave the company. So you spin it off, and it's essentially priced as an individual policy. And everybody I've ever heard that got a COBRA quote was astounded at how expensive it is. $18,000 or so, and DaVinci's, I'm getting some flack on the side from my research department, who sounds hungry. Anyway, under the new COVID-19 laws, this one's called the American Rescue Plan, which, of course, like almost everything that Washington names, is a joke. The name has little to do with anything. We didn't need rescuing, especially with that much money. And it's the same thing when you go back to the Affordable Care Act. The one thing I've never heard anybody call health insurance under Obamacare is affordable. But in this law, and it's a very narrow subset of people who might cash in on this, but I want you to know about it because it might become the law of the land. What they did for 2021 and 2022 only is that if you leave the company and you are not going to continue on COBRA or whatever, if your company isn't beneficent and will pay it all for you, you can apply and get an Obamacare-approved plan, and you will not have to pay more than 8.5% of your adjusted gross income annually, which would mean that if you're making, say, $50,000 a year after retirement, then you'll be capped at $354.17 a month. Now, for a lot of people, versus a $1,500, $1,800, $2,000 COBRA payment, that's going to make a really big difference. The problem, very simple, December 31, 22, this program runs out. So you'd have to be within that shot of age 65 to do this. But if it's popular, it will be extended along with some other provisions they're looking at. I will keep on top of this and tell you if that happens. We have a lot of people just like to walk away at 62, for instance, maybe take Social Security, maybe not. It also affects very dramatically your decision about claiming Social Security, because when you claim Social Security, you get paid more money, which means your Obamacare policy, will go up in cost. So it's kind of an interesting planning tool. I hope we get a chance to put it to use in the office sometime. I think it would be really a fascinating look at it. But I also hope they don't do anything stupid like letting this thing sunset. It's why bother if you're going to do something that cool? Why do you bother to make it so short that it's useless? Budgeting? You know, the Bird Rule, speaking of West Virginia, the Bird Rule says that you've got to plan in 10-year increments. So then you pass it, and it means things have to sunset. And what happens is 2 years into it, they change it and do a new 10-year period. Why bother? Anyway, that's just me. All right, we will be back next week, same time, same station, and we'll hope you all are here. We'll have more and more things to talk to. I didn't get to a tenth of it today, but that's okay. See you next time. This is the Banway Financial Hour.